Appreciate the blessing of being here today to be a part of the fellowship here and gather together with people who desire to worship the Lord, and appreciate the song service and the prayer that's gone before us, and do ask an interest in your prayers as we try to say a few words. And appreciate Brother Clayton giving us the opportunity to do so, and count it a privilege to share this time with him as our pastor and as a fellow elder and laborer in the kingdom of God. And like to ask you a question. What holiday took place November the 1st? Okay, let me ask you a second question. What holiday took place October the 31st? Come on now.
All Saints Day.
Thank you, Brother Eddie. November the 1st was All Saints Day. October the 31st was Halloween. Now, isn't it amazing that the coverage, the celebration, and all those kinds of things that go on October the 31st, but don't go on November the 1st? Because we think of Halloween as a fun day. You know, we dress up in costumes and we buy a lot of candy, and we eat more of that candy than we ought to. We try to give most of it away, but usually we fail. And, you know, we don't want to throw it away, so we don't waste it, you know. And it goes to our waste. So, you know, it kind of bespeaks the, of course, number one, the world that we live in, and number two, the culture that we live in. Sadly, according to statistics now, Halloween is one of the top three holidays celebrated in the Christian world. And Halloween has nothing to do with Christianity. In fact, it's the antithesis of Christianity. I don't remember for sure. Maybe Brother Clayton can help me out on this, but one of those holidays was created because the other one was created. I think that Halloween was created because All Saints Day. That All Saints Day is basically a Catholic holiday. It's a Christian holiday. And it was established to honor all the people that in the Catholic Church had been made saints. And of course, there's a reason behind all of that, and that's fine. I have, you know, that's great. And there were celebrations in. I don't know that they celebrate All Saints Day as much as they have in centuries past. But as an antithesis to that, as a way of countering that, then those who opposed, not just those that opposed the Catholic Church, but those that opposed Christianity, come up with the holiday that we know as Halloween. And there's nothing hallowed about Halloween, okay? And, you know, it's like a lot of other holidays. You know, I don't want you to feel too uncomfortable, and I'm not up here to step on any toes. You know, if you dress up or dress your children up and go around to different homes and to down to the park, you know, a lot of organizations and a lot of towns and cities have organized gatherings. A lot of that's mostly for safety purpose, which you know, I'm glad that they're doing that. To pass out candy and other types of things, that's fine. I personally don't care for that, but a lot of things that I don't personally care for, a lot of other people do, and that's their business. but isn't it interesting to think about the contrast? And you know, it does bespeak of the fallen world that we live in. I mean, that's just the facts. Okay, that's not just my opinion. That's just the facts that generally speaking, John Q. Public prefers things that are not Christian. He prefers things that are not moral. He prefers things that are not godly. So, and the real sad thing about that is that a lot of people who believe in God get caught up in those kinds of things, and they don't stop to think about, you know, what's actually going on here. But with all that being said, what I'd like to share with you today is about, November the 1st, All Saints Day. What is a saint? How do you go about becoming a saint? Can you go down to the courthouse and apply for a saint card? You could probably do that in New Orleans. New Orleans, you know, you could go get you a license plate that says saints on it. But you know, seriously, how do we go about becoming a saint? And once we become a saint, then how do we go about living as a saint? And let me back up one, at least maybe two. Is it something we do, or is it something we are that's the reason we're a saint? Let's go to the scripture and talk about this. Philippians 4, verse 21. The Apostle Paul closes the book of Philippians by telling them to salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Now, if as some would have us to believe that in order to become a saint, you have to be canonized, well, our salutations to saints would be very limited, because the number of them versus the number that I hope and pray that we'll see in the scriptures, that the number of saints that there actually are is a larger number than those that have been canonized. But the apostle closes with the church, with his lesson to the church at Philippi, to salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Well, it's interesting that the apostle Paul helps us out here. He didn't say just salute every saint. He said, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Okay? And anybody, I believe and put forth for your consideration that anybody that's truly a saint, they are a saint. Why? Because they are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. There's a lot more about that verse I'd love to say, but let's go to Psalm 30, verse 4. And you bear with me. This can be a slow job anyhow, but when you have to use mechanical help, it can get a little harder to do. Psalm 30, verse 4. Psalm 30. verse 4. In Psalm 30, verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Now, of here, the word of here signifies ownership, that these saints belong unto him. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Now, one of the things about being a saint is very clear that it's tied to holiness. Okay? That's the foundation of sainthood, is holiness. And if the Lord is the fountain of holiness, then it stands to reason that those that are going to be called saints are, of course, going to be partakers of his holiness. And that's one of the requirements of sainthood, is that the person that is a saint, and even as we think of people that we refer to them affectionately as saints. You know, Brother Clayton mentioned that, Aunt Leon died yesterday, and God blessed her to live a good long life. And in my humble opinion, she would be, I've considered her many years as a saint. She had her faults. She was human like the rest of humankind. But she was kind. She was a gentle person. She loved her family. She did her best, to care for them. She always, greeted people kindly, insofar as I know. She always did me. And I've always felt like that she had the smile of a saint. She was a saint. And of course, she would have told you readily that if any of that was true about her, it wasn't because that she did something to get that way. It's because she was blessed to be that way.
Right.
Sainthood, being a saint, requires holiness. Requires us to be holy. Well, we can't be something that we can't be. You can't go to any Christian bookstore in the world and buy holiness. They don't have it for sale. If you give them the idea, they might try to figure out some way to do that. But holiness is not something that a person can go anywhere and buy. You can't concoct it in your kitchen. It's something that if you've got it, it's because it was given to you. And it was given to you because you are a child of God. And as a child of God, children inherit traits from their parents. And children of God, one of the traits that they inherit from their Father in heaven is holiness. In fact, we're told in one place that we're to be ye holy, for your Father which is in heaven is holy. One of the attributes of God, one of the greatest attributes of God that's spoken of throughout the scriptures, is his holiness. And that's very important. We have to appreciate and try to wrap our arms around and believe that God is holiness. He's the holiest of the holiest. Anything that's holy outside of God is because God blesses that thing or person to be holy. And so he does every child of God. When we're born of the Spirit of God, that attribute God blesses us to have. And you might say, well, why is that important? Well, it's important because in order for you to have a relationship with God, you're going to have to be holy. Because the Bible tells me that God can't look upon sin to any degree. He just can't. I mean, that's how holy His holiness is. It's amazing to me whenever I first began to learn that and first began to study about that and first began to consider it. If that's true, Lord, if you can't, and the Scripture tells us, that's true, that God can't have anything to do with sin, He can't look upon sin, how in the world did Jesus Christ live in this world for 33 years? How did He do it? You might say, I don't know. I think it was because of His holiness that He was able to do it. And that'll be for another time. But sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. And again, you know, what makes a person a saint is because you're a partaker of the holiness of God. and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. And we need to remember His holiness, from time to time. And to remember, of course, that He is holy. The more that people would remember that God is holy, I feel certain that it would make a lot of difference in our attitude and perhaps our way of living. In Psalm 31, verse 23, the psalmist says, O love the Lord, all ye His saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. O love the Lord, all ye His saints, colon, which means that the psalmist is about to further explain what he means or why he's saying, O love the Lord, all ye His saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Notice, first of all, that it says, all ye His saints. Being a saint is a personal thing. Okay, it's like so many other things. If we're not careful, we may be prone to think of the topic of saint or saints in the generic or in as thinking of the multitude of God's people. But the word ye here brings it down to you and to me personally. All ye His saints. You're saints. This is a message to you personally. Whoever you are, excuse me, whatever your name is, ye love the Lord, and to you individually, we're told to love the Lord. And I say, well, Brother Thomas, I thought if you were a saint that loving the Lord was automatic. Well, there's a degree that there is. If you're not a saint, you're not going to love the Lord. Amen? But, you know, you love the Lord because you're a saint. And that word love, of course, doesn't mean to just have love for the Lord. It means to show that love for the Lord, to be active in your love to the Lord. You know, to tell Him that you love Him, to show Him that you love Him, to act like you do love Him. Okay? Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints. And real quickly, again, His, that's a personal possessive word, His saints. You know what? The only real saints, and the only saints there are real saints, by the way, are those that are His. Right. Amen? Okay. Let me get a couple more here. Acts 9, verse 13. And I apologize for being so slow. You know, eyesight's like a lot of things. You don't appreciate it until you lose it. Amen. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem." Okay, Ananias recognized who saints belong to. The Lord hears, is talking to him, and has come to him and telling him to arise and go into the street called Straight, and there he would find a man named Saul, and, baptize him. But Ananias says, "Lord, I have heard that this man, he's not very saint friendly." But the Lord says, and how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And so Ananias recognized that, a person that's a saint, he's a saint because he belongs, unto the Lord. Now, in closing, I want to make this point. And I'll not read any more scriptures. You can go and read them. Many of the greetings, the opening remarks by the Apostle Paul in many of his letters, he writes those letters to the saints which are in Ephesus, to the saints that be at Rome. And that's important. Don't just read over that, because it's important. Paul was blessed of the Lord to write, a little over half of the books of the New Testament. God has made him an apostle who has laid the foundation in the New Testament writings for the things that we believe and the things that we are to practice. And so it's important for us to pay attention to the teachings of the Apostle Paul, the things that he says. And not always, when we read the scripture, not just to read over things, not just go to the meat of a book or the meat of a subject or the meat of a sentence, but pay attention to the little things. And one of the little things is how many times the Apostle Paul addresses his epistles to the saints, which are at Ephesus. He didn't address his epistles to the citizens of Ephesus. He didn't address his epistles to whoever reads these words either. And there's a whole lot more I need to say about that, but I don't have the time because I'm talking about saints. He addressed these words to the saints. And if God has called you by his grace, brethren and sisters, and I believe that he has, you are a saint. And he's called you not only by his grace, blessed you to be born of the Spirit of God, automatically you're a saint. Which, by the way, you've been a saint in God's sight ever since he chose you in Jesus Christ before the world began.
Amen.
But he's also called you to be saints. And everything that God has ever called us to do, his promise is he'll bless us to be that while we live here in time. If we need anything in our world today, we need saints. Not self-righteous saints. Not self-proclaimed saints. But people who recognize that by the grace of God we are saints. And that we're to be ye holy, as your Father in heaven, which is holy. And that's one of the requirements of sainthood. If more people would let that part of their light shine, perhaps it would make a little bit of difference in this world. And that may not be the most important thing. It may make a difference in somebody's world. Do you follow me? It may make a difference in somebody's world. Aunt Lillian made a difference in my life. And one of the reasons, it's not because she was such a good cook. Boy, she could cook. She had a good teacher. But it was because of her character, her meekness, her humbleness. She was a saint. And that saintliness had an impact. I believe it had the greatest impact on the people that she impacted. May the Lord add his blessings. That's my prayer.